Hi, my name is Eric Siebert, and I'll be your instructor for this part of Backup Academy. In this lesson, we'll be covering VMware Backup Integrity. Before we begin, a little bit about me. I'm a 25-year IT industry veteran. I've been focusing on virtualization for the last 5 years. I'm the author of 2 books on virtualization, Maximum vSphere and VMware VI3 Implementation Administration. I'm the proprietor of vSphereLand.com and VMware Information website, regular contributor on many tech target websites, including CertServerVirtualization.com and CertsVMware.com. I've presented at VMworld twice in 2008 and 2010, and I've been recognized as a vExpert by VMware in 2009 and 2010. So here's our agenda for this lesson. First, we're going to cover why backup integrity is so critical and why you need a good backup to be able to do a good restore. Next, we'll cover some of the traditional backup verification methods that you use in physical server environments. Then we'll cover how virtualization is different and the unique architecture of virtualization makes verification a lot easier. Then we'll cover quiescing and why that's critical to having consistent data. Then we'll cover why how VMware tools plays into the picture and why that's important also. So why is backup integrity so critical? Well, having good backups is really important, but you know, having good restores is even more important. I mean, what's the point of backing up data if you can't restore it? So the integrity of your backups is absolutely critical to being able to do a proper restore when needed. Backups are, you know, essentially worthless if you can't properly restore files when necessary. You know, if you spend months and weeks and years backing up data, only to find out when you go to restore the data that there was something wrong with the integrity of that data and you can't actually do a restore, then you know your backups are essentially worthless. You shouldn't trust that since your backup software doesn't report any errors when backing everything up that everything's okay. You know, as Ronald Reagan was fond of saying, trust but verify. You know, you trust that your backup software is working, but you really need to verify that it's actually working and backing up data properly. So that means you need to regularly test and verify that your backups are working properly by actually doing a restore of the data to ensure that can be read properly and that the data is being backed up in a way that when you actually do the restore that everything works okay and you can actually use that data. So you really need to ask yourself a question, how important is your data to you? And in almost all cases, your data is critical. That's all your information that you need to be able to back up and restore if something happens to it. Okay, so let's go over why verifying your backups can be a real challenge. So verification means more than just verifying that, you know, your backup software said that the job successfully completed and that the media is error-free, there was no, you know, physical errors with whatever media you use to store your backups on. You know, you need to really be able, the reason you're backing up your data is you need to be able to properly restore the files, your applications, and databases and servers whenever needed. So the problem with verifying backups is that it can really be a complicated and time-consuming process. You know, it's not something easy where you can't just, you know, there's verification built in the backup software, but that all that does is really just verify that the data was written correctly. It doesn't verify that the actual data that's on the tape is in an okay state to be able to be restored when needed. So restoring files may be simple enough. You typically just restore a file, you know, back to any type of location. But restoring applications or a whole server can be challenging. There's a lot more to it than when you're doing an application where you have to make sure that application is in a working state or that a whole server, the guest operating system, is in a working state. So you also need to ensure that applications are in a working state, so restoring multi-tier applications is difficult. So if you have an application that spans multiple servers, something that maybe has a web server, a database server, and an application server that all work together, how do you know that that application as a whole is working, and how do you verify that what you have backed up is in a good state to be able to restore if needed? So let's now go over some of the traditional backup verification method that you typically use in a physical server environment to verify that the data that you have for your backups is in a state that it can be restored when needed. So with verification, you can't really impact your production systems. You don't want to overwrite what's already there on your production systems unless you want to take that whole, you know, server down, and then you're going to run into a lot more problems when you try to do that. So typically you need one or more unused physical servers to perform the restore on. So if you want to test things like application, you know, more than simple file restores, you want to test applications to see if they're in a working state when you restore them, or a whole operating system like a bare metal backup, you want to be able to test that to see if that's in a working state. You need extra server hardware laying around to be able to do this on. So testing bare metal restores can be difficult because typically for doing that you need similar hardware. If you try to restore this data to dissimilar hardware, you're going to run into problems with things like drivers and disk partitions and things like that where they don't match up, so you could have things like the operating system could blue screen because it's got different drivers on it, and it's just really difficult to be able to get a good be able to verify that bare metal restore worked properly. You really need some more hardware. So that problem is even multiplied in the data center where you have more model and generations of server, where if you're trying to verify maybe 5, 6, 7 different models of servers, well, you need similar hardware for all of those to be able to verify that data, that bare metal restore, can be done on whatever hardware so it matches what you have there already. So backup verification in traditional physical server environments, it's really a time-consuming, tedious, and difficult process. It's not easy, it's something you have to do, but physical server environments, it's really, you need just a lot of effort to be able to take those backups and to be able to verify that they're in a state where they can be restored if needed. So when we actually verify our data, we need to do it at different levels. So we talked about in another lesson how the different levels that we backup data at. We have the file level, we have the application level where we're backing up objects inside of a database or whatever, and also the server level where we're doing the image level or bare metal backups. So we're doing different types of backups in our environment typically, so we need to verify data at different levels to make sure that, you know, all of our data and all of our servers can all be restored, and that all that data that's there is in a state that, you know, it's able to be restored when needed. So for files, how do you typically restore files? So typically you restore them to an alternate location. You don't want to, in most cases, overwrite what's already there because it's typically production data that you want to leave alone. So to verify files, you typically just need to take those files, restore them to an alternate location, and then just open them and verify that you can get into them. For applications, it becomes a little bit more difficult because you need to restore the data files, whether it's, you know, a database or whatever container that data is in, and then open them in the application to ensure that the data can be read. So you typically need to restore that application as well to be able to check the data that's inside those files. So make sure that you can read your email files, your database files, or whatever type of transactional data or data that's stored inside of a container. You need to be able to ensure that you can go in there and be able to read that data and it's backed up in a good state. Then for servers, you need to actually boot that server. You know, you need to make sure that it's in the backup state that it's in, that the server can actually boot. The operating system has no issues when it boots, doesn't blue screen when it boots. If you're doing bare metal backups, you really need to ensure that once you try to restore that server somewhere, that it's in a good state where it's going to boot without issue. So these are all the different levels that you really need to go through and verify. You can't just do it at one in a lot of cases because you need to ensure that all of your data and everything in your whole environment is in a good enough state where it can be restored if needed. So we talked about how verification in traditional environments is kind of difficult because you typically need extra hardware to be able to restore if you want to verify things that, like applications or a whole bare metal backup was successfully backed up so you can restore it when needed. So virtualization can make this verification process a lot easier. With virtualization, you can easily, since the backup is typically at an image level, you can easily restore that whole image of a VM to a host and power it on. You don't need any extra hardware. You're just up and running right away. As soon as you restore it, you power it on and you're good to go. You can log into that server that you restored, open up the console to it, make sure that the operating system is okay and the applications inside of it are running okay. You can use network isolation to prevent your restored VMs from impacting your production VMs. So with traditional physical servers, it's more difficult to isolate physical hardware on the network because you have to go to the network layer. You typically have to involve your network group to isolate those VMs and maybe put them on their own separate segments that don't impact your production servers. With virtualization, it's a lot easier because with vSwitches that have no physical NICs, you can create your own little sandbox environment and not impact your production VMs. You can also restore multiple VMs to test applications that have dependencies on other servers. So if you have a web server that has an app server component and a database, you can restore all those VMs to that isolated environment to be able to test that application as a whole and have all the other servers that are dependent that the application depends on available so you can test that application and make sure that's running properly. So with virtualization, you don't need any extra physical hardware like you do in a traditional server environment. You know, typically in our virtual environments, we have a lot of extra host resources and a lot of cases where we can just restore a VM when needed to a host without having to, you know, get extra hardware to do that. So it becomes a lot easier since you don't need any extra hardware where you can just restore a VM to any host that has sufficient resources for that VM to power up on, and you're good to go. So verifying backups with virtualization, it's still easier from a process level. You can, like I said, you don't need the extra physical hardware. The VMs are already backed up at the image level. So the whole process is easier with virtualization, but it still can be time consuming because there's still a lot of manual steps that you have to do to actually go out and do the verification and make sure that everything from your files to your applications to your bare metal images, everything is working and all your data is verified so it can be restored when needed. So when you're performing backups, it's all about consistency. Consistency is really the key to having good backups because your backups are only as good as the data that you're reading from on your servers. If that data isn't in a good state, where there's something wrong with that data, it hasn't been properly prepared to be backed up, then your backups really aren't consistent. And when you try to restore them, well, then you're going to find out that, you know, that data that you backed up might not be good enough to be able to do a restore with. So, you know, the operating system, the applications, and data, they all need to be put into a proper state and prepared for when the backup occurs. So this is especially critical for, you know, transaction-sensitive applications like Active Directory or Exchange or SQL Server, where they typically have databases or some type of container where they're constantly reading and writing to that. And those types of applications, they really need to be put in a proper state so before they're backed up to make sure that you aren't missing any data, there's no corruption and things like that. So the server must be prepared when you typically kick off a backup. A VM snapshot occurs where it actually pauses the virtual disk of the virtual machine and makes it read only. But before that can happen, you need to have that virtual disk put in a proper state. So any pending transactions or data that might be in the memory on that server or haven't completed yet, those must be finished and written to disk before you could actually take that VM snapshot and begin your backup. If you don't do this, then you could have missing data, which can cause, you know, corruption or incomplete backups, and, you know, essentially in a lot of cases it can make your backups worthless. So to be able to achieve that consistency that we need to ensure that our server and our applications and data are in a proper state to be backed up, we need to QS them. And what QSing does is basically a fancy term for pausing a computer. So you're basically telling all the operating system and the applications running on that computer to hold on a second, just give me a minute to do some things. So it pauses everything running on the computer and it takes any outstanding writes. You know, maybe there's still something happening that to be able to make a database in a good state, you need to write data to that database. So any outstanding writes are then written to disk. If there's things in memory that maybe need to be written to disk as well, those will get flushed to disk. So everything that's all outstanding, all happens, gets back into the server. So you have nothing left where that may prevent that backup from not being a complete backup or might have missing data. So once that QS operation completes, the VM snapshot can be taken, and then the OS and the applications can proceed as usual. So that typically the QS process itself really doesn't take too long. It may take a second or two based on, you know, whatever operating system or application is running and how much data is kind of pending that needs to be written back. So it really doesn't take too long, but once that completes, we're in a safe spot now. Our data is in a consistent state. That VM snapshot can be taken. So that disk, that read-only disk that happens after the VM snapshot occurs, is in a good state. We don't have to worry about, you know, missing our corrupt data. And the applications just proceed as usual while that backup occurs from that point on. So for Windows VM, QSing is done through the Microsoft Volume Shadow Copy service, which we talked about in another lesson. So that service is the one that's responsible for actually doing the QSing at the operating system level and taking the operating system and applications and having them pause and write their data. For Linux VMs, they don't have the equivalent of that Volume Shadow Copy service, so there's something in the VMware tools that can actually do that for Linux VMs. So not all applications, though the Windows operating system supports QSing, but not all applications support QSing. So, you know, a lot of the common applications like Microsoft SQL Server and Exchange and a lot of those transactional applications do support it, you know, through the Windows VSS service, but not everything does. So for those other applications don't actually support QSing, there's alternatives to that where you can actually use maybe some native tools that you can call via a pre-backup script that'll actually maybe pause the application, flush the data, or just do whatever needs to be done to prepare that data to be in a proper state to be backed up. So when it comes to consistency and backup states, there's actually several states that a server can be in, so how well prepared it is when that snapshot is taken. So the first state is called crash consistent. Now this is the worst state. This is basically the same as a VM having its power turned off without being properly shut down or just yanking a power cord on a computer. That's crash consistent. That operating system, those applications that are running on that server haven't had any chance at all to actually prepare themselves to be backed up. All the data and memory is essentially, you know, gone. It's not written and that. So a crash consistent state is typically any pending transactions or data that's in the memory are lost. And it's well, in a lot of cases it's okay. If you have open files, there may be some stuff that's lost and things like that. But for some of your basic backups, a crash consistent state is okay. But for other more sensitive applications, the crash consistent state can cause lost and corrupt data. The next state is file system consistent, and this is a better state than crash consistent. And this is where the operating system is QS, which allows any pending data to be written to disk before the snapshot is taken. So this basically just tells the operating system, hey, OS, prepare yourself to be backed up. So the OS does what it knows, which is just the operating system itself, and prepares that for backups and flushes anything, any data, anything in memory that the operating system is aware of to prepare itself to be in that proper state for the backup to be taken. So this doesn't take into account any applications that may be running that, you know, might need additional steps to properly write all their data to disk. So this only prepares the operating system itself to be in a proper state. So this state is better than crash consistent, but it's not the best state. So the best state, where you actually have the all your data in the most consistent state, it's basically by the application consistent state, where both your OS and applications are QS, so everything on that server can be properly restored. So you don't have to worry about, you know, anything being corrupt or missing, because application consistent actually QSs, goes out and QSs both the operating system and the application that support QSing to prepare everything so it's in a proper state. So this is the best state for preparing your server for a backup. And again, it only works with applications that specifically support QSing. So if there's some apps out there that don't support it, you know, basically the file system consistent would be what would happen in those cases, because those applications aren't aware of how they should prepare themselves to get in the proper state to be backed up. So if you're doing backups, you really always want application consistent. It is the absolutely best state. Everything that can be prepared is prepared. You have less chance of having lost or corrupt data, and your server as a whole is in a proper state then from that point to be backed up. Okay, now we're going to cover VMware tools and give you a little bit of information on what it is, what it does, and what role it plays in preparing your servers to be backed up and to be in a good state to be backed up. So VMware Tools is basically, it consists of a bunch of, it's a package essentially that you install onto virtual machines, and it contains drivers and applications that help optimize the guest operating system to run on a VMware host. So everything that gets installed in VMware Tools is essentially goes above and beyond, or a normal operating system, and has the typical drivers for the virtual hardware that it's seen, but it doesn't have drivers that are optimized for that hardware. So VMware Tools actually contains optimized drivers that are specifically designed to work better with that VMware host. So some of the things included in VMware Tools are, there's a guest daemon that's used for controlling communication between the guest and host. So this allows a conduit, like a data conduit between the VM and the host, and they can kind of communicate with, the host can communicate inside of the guest operating system. This is also good for things like time synchronization, where we want to synchronize our VM's clock with that clock of the host. So there's also a VMware toolbox for Linux, or a VMware tray for Windows for controlling various VMware tool settings. So it's basically just a little application that runs where you can actually interact with VMware tools. Then there's the memory balloon driver, and this is an important one for memory management, where this driver will inflate and deflate, so basically put pressure on an operating system to enforce it to invoke its own memory management controls to be able to conserve memory on the host. Then there's things like the paravirtualized network VMware driver, which is basically just a high-performance network driver that gets you better throughput. And then the sync driver, this is one that kind of relates to backups, which is used for freezing and thawing file systems, for essentially kind of the same thing that the volume shadow copy service does. So VMware Tools is bundled with all hosts. The actual install for your VMs is included in all your hosts. It's basically kept as a little image that gets mounted onto the VM, so when you go to install VMware Tools, it pulls it from that image off the host to install it. There's different versions of VMware Tools, and they're specific to different operating system types, because you know, we want the right drivers for the right operating system. So it's actually packaged into different little bundles, where depending on what operating system you have running on that guest VM, it'll pull the appropriate version for that operating system and install it on that VM. So VMware Tools isn't required, but it's highly recommended that you install it. You know, you get nothing but benefits out of installing VMware Tools. I mean, sure, your guests will run fine without it. You typically, you know, won't experience any problems without it, but you just won't get the performance and the benefits that you'll get with using VMware Tools. So you always want to make sure that you install VMware Tools on your VMs to get the absolute best performance and, you know, the most interaction between the guest OS on the VM and the VMware host. So we covered what VMware Tools is, but we haven't really covered how that relates to backup and verification and consistent backup. So one feature of VMware Tools is that it can interact with the volume shadow copy service that runs on the guest operating system. So image level backup apps that operate at the virtualization layer and don't really go inside the guest operating system, you know, they typically can't trigger that QSing process, because they're only talking at the virtualization layer and not at the guest operating system layer. So VMware Tools has the ability, because it runs inside the guest operating system, to actually QS the operating system via the volume shadow copy service. So VMware Tools can be slow to support new operating systems. So this feature is there, and it can, you know, works fine in a lot of cases. But for some cases, when new operating system, for example, Windows Server 2008, it took them quite a while to be actually support that operating system. And some versions of 2003, they finally do support those operating systems. But for a lot of, you know, backup applications, they don't want to wait. They want to be able to do that QSing itself and not have to rely on VMware to update VMware Tools to be able to support those new operating systems. So a lot of backup applications, what they've done is also provide their own operating system agent that runs inside the guest OS. It's basically just a small little agent that can actually, you know, act as a conduit that backup application can contact that little agent and QS the operating system from that. So they're not having to rely on VMware Tools to do that. In most cases, VMware Tools works fine, and that's what the majority of backup applications use. But there are some cases where you may want to look at the maybe an agent provided by that backup application if the operating system that you have isn't supported yet by VMware Tools to be able to do a quest inside that the operating system. So for Linux VMs, there's and also a feature of VMware Tools is there is a special VM sync driver that can provide the same functionality of the volume shadow copy service. So this driver can do basically the equivalent of QSing the disk for Linux VMs, provide that same functionality. So it's important to have VMware Tools on Linux VMs because you get that same QSing driver where you could actually prepare your backups to be in a consistent state on those Linux VMs. So kind of the whole process here, as we got outlined below, is basically the backup server starts the backup job. And from that point, the backup server contacts VMware Tools or the VM sync driver to QS the VM and prepare it to be in a proper state to be backed up. So from that point, the Microsoft on Windows VMs, the Microsoft VSS service will actually do the QSing of the VM. Once that happens and the operating system and applications are in a good state to be backed up, then the backup server will go ahead and create that VM snapshot to freeze that disk because we got a good disk, it's in a great state. We want to freeze that disk now and make it and not have any writes occur to it. So the VM snapshot occurs, the backup server triggers via the standard APIs or built into VMware, creates that VM snapshot. So now that disk is read-only, and our backup server then actually begins that image-level backup, reading that virtual disk and backing it up. And then from that point, the backup server, once the backup is finished, simply deletes that VM snapshot, and your backup's complete. So to kind of summarize, earlier we told you to trust but verify, but in reality you shouldn't trust at all. You always want to verify that your backup's completed successfully and that data written is in a good state to be able to be restored. Your data is the most critical thing that your company owns, and you want to avoid that oh crap moment where you actually go to try to restore data and find out that all those backups that you've been doing all this time, there's something wrong with them, your data wasn't in a good state to be restored. So verification is key for be able to verify that everything that you've been doing all this time is able to be restored. So verification needs to be done on a regular basis. You can't just do it once, and things can happen over time. You need to do it on a regular basis, whether it be daily, weekly, monthly, but you need to go through and not just verify one server, but you need to verify multiple servers, multiple applications, and things like that to really make sure that all the data that you're backing up is in a good state. So you can leverage virtualization to do this verification, and you can develop your own verification process where you can maybe write scripts or something to actually go through and verify that the data that we have here kind of create your own methods to verify that data is in a good state. Automation can make your life a lot easier. Leverage your backup. It'll take all that hassle of that manual verification out of there and make it all automated. So the end result is that when you verify all that data, you have good backups. It'll allow you to sleep good at night, and it definitely avoids any of those moments where you go to restore that data and find out that data is no good. So don't trust, verify, and always make sure that you have good backups.